And Sam, if you want to pick up where we left off, we'll hear some more from Gemma and Lynn and Phil.
Crowd of people there, these people that fly around the world and they stay at all these hotels and they eat at all these fancy restaurants, and they're the elites, I call them, and those are the people that rule over us, and they have a special arrangement with the world government, and they're never afraid of a door flying out of the aircraft, like they told us happened on a Alaskan airplane last month, where one of the side doors just popped out. That story looked really fake to me. None of these jet setters are afraid of any malfunction happening to the airplane. They'll fly anywhere in the world, and they don't care.
The whole Boeing thing recently, I mean, that was a classic psyop to terrify people, you know.
But it doesn't terrify the elites. The elites are not... See, the elites secretly know the news is fake. They know it. And they, deep down, they know it, and they don't change their travel plans at all.
No.
It's little people that actually think that the news is telling us the truth. We're the ones who get all scared. But these elites, they know it's just a bunch of BS. But they are happy to live in a world like that. In fact, they enjoy living in a world like that. And so this here, people have mentioned there were ignition points on both sides of the bridge, flames, and that is a good point. That means there were some charges there that brought the bridge down. I uploaded a video of the guy named Jeremy, and he's a resident in Baltimore, and he mentioned that it looks like a movie. And then the reporter who was interviewing him said, yeah, you know, that's what the mayor said. The mayor said it looked like a movie. And the mayor, what's his name? Brandon Scott, I think.
Listen to this mayor.
Interviews of him. I mean, he looks like a rapper or something.
Oh, yeah, they call him the boy mayor.
Okay. Yeah. The boy mayor.
Yeah, I don't know if he was actually elected or he was appointed to replace the one who had to resign because she was involved in a corruption scandal, Catherine Pugh. The last three or four mayors we've had of Baltimore have been involved in really massive corruption scandals and had to resign. Sheila Dixon, Stephanie Rollins Blake, and then Catherine Pugh. And I think Brandon Scott, he's up for election this time around, but they're saying that...
Continue,
you put him on, you can see for yourself.
He's hungry. I mean, he's like some sort of teenage rapper or something, you know.
All of them working together, city, state, local, to make sure that we are working through this tragedy. This is an ongoing active research that we're having right now. We're going to continue, as you heard from Chief Wallace, throughout, as long as we have to be doing that, we will do it. But we have to be thinking about the families and people impacted, folks who we have to try to find and save. This is what our focus should be on right now. We're going to continue to work in partnership with every part of government to do everything that we can to get us through the other side of this tragedy.
That is scary.
I'll turn it over to County Executive Bush.
Yeah.
That's scary stuff.
Cracked windshield?
Yeah,
it really
is. He looks like a college student or something.
Now, Baltimore right now is going through the throes of a real panic, a crisis over shootings and carjackings, especially armed carjackings and car thefts. Massive car thefts going on. They discovered a ring of car thieves that actually uses tow trucks to steal vehicles. That's how out in the open it is. People are saying they can't go within a few blocks of their home. They're scared. So Baltimore is in a very, very kind of negative mood right now. I wanted to refer to something about controlled demolitions that I was unaware of until fakeologist pointed it out to me. There's an interview with the chief executive of Controlled Demolitions Incorporated, CDI Incorporated. I'm pretty sure that they're the ones that did 9/11 because they were called in afterwards to work on the cleanup. So they've been around a while. And they used to have headquarters in Sparks, Maryland, which is a tiny town here. But they also have a location in New Mexico, I believe. In this interview with this executive, Greg Loizaeux, Loizaeux, I guess is how his name would be pronounced, he said that controlled demolitions were becoming increasingly problematic because of the liability incurred from accidental, unintended collateral damage in the vicinity of a controlled demolition. Because if you demolish an office building, it's going to shake the ground. There may be small businesses and residences around there that suffer damage. Concrete foundations cracked, whatever. Pipes cracked, plumbing, you know, water main breaks. And what Loizaeux was saying is that the controlled demolition industry itself is now facing a crisis where they're hesitating to do demolitions because they can't be guaranteed against liability lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And who would have thought that that would be a disincentive to do controlled demolitions? It's such a highly specialized area. How many firms could be in that business? But I guess you can make an inference from that, that if you can make a controlled demolition look like an accident, mm-hmm. that's 90%, 95% of your job done, right? And that's what we essentially saw
yeah.
with the World Trade Center on 9/11. And that's what I see here. I say, well, if this was planned well in advance and it's part of a program, it really saves them a lot of instead of telling people, here's what we're going to do, which, by the way, people would probably have to vote on to some extent. The city council, maybe not the city council. I think the state of Maryland has jurisdiction over the Maryland Port Authority. But they would have had to, you know, there's a whole bureaucratic procedure before you demolish a major arterial bridge in an urban area, especially a port like Baltimore. And now they've avoided all that. They don't have to go to the voters for, you know, the voters could vote it down. They could say, we don't think it's a high priority. Because they'd have to make the case. They'd have to say, well, this thing is really old. It wasn't built right to begin with. We need to tear it down and rebuild it. Well, maybe people would give them a heart. You know, all the politics involved in that. So, yeah, I'm going for the sort of Occam's razor of controlled demolitions here, that the best controlled demolition of all is the one that you can pretend isn't really a controlled demolition because it just happens spontaneously.
That yeah, makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Yeah, Phil, sorry.
Yeah, that's mostly what it was. 9/11, I believe, they built those towers from the beginning to be stage props. They were built to be destroyed, and it was a symbolic little two-world gestures. And because the new Trade Center is two worlds become one. It's the upper and lower triangles that meld together on the One World Trade Center. So two worlds became one on 9/11. It's a symbolism of who rules our world. I've said before, I believe these people come from the underworld and they have conquered our world now, and that is why they have an anti-human agenda, and that's why they're not on the same team as us.
I see it as a little more mercenary than that, mm-hmm. because I'm right away looking at, I want to know, for example, who might have made some investment decisions in advance of this event that will now consequently profit from what has happened. That'd be a very select group, right? That'd be a very select, because a lot of people are going to lose money. A lot of people are going to, a lot of small businesses are going to have to pay more because they can't get stuff directly in through the Port of Baltimore for a while, so they'll suffer. But what we should be looking at is what are the interests, the corporate interests that would tend to benefit from, qui bono, who would tend to benefit from this? And that might not be so difficult to determine when you look at what sort of investments had been made and what sort of insurance was taken out on that ship. And especially, it belongs to the Maersk line, which I'm familiar with. Maersk originally was a Norwegian company. It's global, basically. And it, I worked for CSX, the railroad, for 7 years. And during that time, they merged with Maersk. We had to do a lot of software changes to accommodate this merger. but it's heavily, heavily regulated. And there's hazardous materials procedures. All, I mean, when you talk about transportation, like this, these container vessels, you're talking about something that's very, very heavily regulated, heavily controlled. It's, the fact that something like this would occur is, well, what do you want me to say? It's the proverbial black swan event. Very, very unlikely. Uh-huh. They're going to have to pin the rap on somebody for this, aren't they? Aren't they going to have to pin the rap on the captain? Like with the Exxon Valdez. Phil, I guess you remember the... That's something you ought to look at.
I'm too young to remember that. No, just kidding. I remember it.
But basically, the captain, Hazelton, took the rap for it, right?
Yeah.
And you know,
I don't know. Is there any word on the crew? All crew members have been accounted for.
Yes, the crew is all accounted for. And that video you're showing right there was made its rounds around the internet, and the mainstream media had to come out and debunk this, saying that this is a video from Crimea from, I think, 2015 or something. And so why? And my friend at the dog park told me this morning, he goes, there's another angle that shows cars on the bridge, Phil. And he was talking about this video that you're showing right here. But
yeah, I wasn't sure if it was actually because I thought it was the angle was a bit strange. But sorry, did you?
So, yeah, it's strange that they released this video as a little rabbit hole that, and then made it circuits, you know, and people fell for it. But it's from a different location. And I probably think that was a fake bombing at a Crimean bridge also. But whatever, they used the video for. But,
But even the actual video that they put out, you'd have to wonder, you know, the original video. Because, as you said, the cars are out of sync with the ship. And just on the whole issue of, you know, the idea that there were explosives there and it was a controlled demolition. I mean, how could just one pier, could one pier take down the whole bridge like that? Are those bridges so flimsy in the same way, you know, can aluminium planes take down steel towers?
How
it just folded like a cheap suit, just like the Twin Towers. So you've probably covered this point already, but to me it just looks inconceivable that it could go down so quickly.
I think everybody notices that there's something wrong with this video. There's something not right with it.
Yeah, I'd want to hear a structural engineer answer how this thing collapsed in its entire... Look at that! That's ridiculous.
You see the sparks, and I want to know how those sparks, because when the bridge collapses, there shouldn't be any fires or sparks coming from it. So,
well, they're also saying, I heard this on the news this morning, they're claiming that in the video shows black smoke coming from at least two locations on the container vessel. But what does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean anything was on fire, does it?
Yeah, I think they were saying that it was an emergency signal. They haven't really made it clear how the crew members on the ship contacted the construction workers on the bridge to let them know that they were out of control. I don't know, did they call 911 and say, patch me into the construction crew on the bridge? Or how exactly did the crew... Now, there should have been tugboats, and so if they're going to blame anyone, they're going to blame the people who didn't provide tugboats for the vessel. And so, yeah, I don't know how they're going to pin blame, but one thing's for sure is that we're going to pay for the new bridge, and they're going to build it. I'm pretty sure that they're going to build it back fast. I think they're just replacing an old bridge that had outdated pylons, and they needed, trust me, the new bridge will be very sophisticated and it will be up to, you know, modernized. And so I think that's the reason right there. But
again, it's like, how did they get so many people in on it? Because there would have been so many people working in the harbor, in the port area, though. Corruption, yeah. Who would have, like, the early warning signals for vessels like that moving around where there are bridges, etc. Like, there are so many protections, layers of protection put in place, as there are in airports. There's so many people watching.
I have come to believe that the entire staff of the Port Authority of New York City in Manhattan knew all about those demolitions. Now, they may not have known in advance, some of them maybe, but they certainly knew within the first week or two what had happened. And there are thousands of New York City employees that work for the New York City Port Authority. And don't tell me that they didn't know something fishy was up.
And
So you ask, how could all those people be in on it? You're living in a very corrupt society.
So
people want to believe in the mainstream narrative because they have an ideological or cult or just a group commitment, an identity commitment to that official narrative. They don't want to deviate from it, even when they know it's patently absurd. So, yeah, I would love to hear a structural engineer explain the collapse, the perfect symmetric total collapse, simultaneous collapse of that bridge just because one pylon was struck by a wayward vessel. Because I don't think this would, it would look like at all. I think you see that, you know, I think you probably see it maybe caving in the middle, right?
Yeah, it doesn't look right at all. And
we might try and just hear this because we could pick up some fakery coming out of this. Sorry, there's so many ads and I do have an ad blocker, but it's not working. I wanted to go back to that Daily Mail thing because they seem to have released a video or an audio of the police. So sorry, just keep talking there and I'll find it again.
Oh, yeah, I just uploaded that to my channel. It's a it's the audio that explains how the construction crews had stopped traffic just moments before impact. And so there it is.
I can't get into your chat. I don't have my VPN switched on, and I can't switch it on, so I can't get into your channel.
Yeah, it's like a 17 or 15 minute video, but I cut out the 30 seconds of the important part, and I put it on my channel. And it describes two cops talking to each other.
Is this the end of that part?
No, there's no traffic. They had stopped traffic moments before.
Okay, while you move it up to the next part, I just want to tell people, and then I'm going to go shut my heater off because I don't know if that's interfering here. But Iris, oh, you hear something really loud? Huh, I heard something too. It's like, you know, like a steady, anyway, I'll turn that off in just a minute while you're getting that, but up Chuck Schumer's tranny wife, it looks like a man, worked, Iris Weinshall, worked for the Port Authority. You know, there's just so many little nuggets everywhere. But that's why it's so corrupt. We're just filled with parasites. And they do this every society, every time, every stinking time. Look back through history. They'll be called something else, but they're doing the same things. You know, the leavening of the Pharisees. They pump up a country with its artificial usury, and then you've got the sodomy and the moral, no morals, and the moral decay, and so they flush out one country and move on to another, and they come back again like they are in China now, where they're moving the center, I think. Okay, so you got that at the 37 mark there, Sam? Okay, you go ahead and start that. I'm going to go
major transportation infrastructure project that the city of Baltimore and the state of Maryland were funding was something called the Red Line, which was, I guess, was an extension of the subway, the mass transit system. But now they're saying that the money that was going to be allocated for that Red Line is going to have to go toward rebuilding this bridge. I've heard that said by a couple of political leaders already. So we can see shifting budget priorities here as well that didn't have to go through any legislative debate or city council debate. Or you know, it's so simple, really, the way they did this. Creative destruction.
That's very fast for them to be coming out with a decision like that, isn't it? You know, like that's a real problem, reaction, solution. Okay. like we're just going to get rid of that other infrastructural project and focus on this. Seems it's barely 24 hours since it collapsed.
Yeah, no, it's moving really fast, isn't it? Just like after 9/11, how the cleanup crew just started less than 24 hours after the incident.
And chaos there is profit. And I'll bet there are investors, wherever this freight is now going to have to be rerouted for I don't know how many months or how long it's going to take for them to clear the harbor enough for ships to get back in. But wherever all of this international shipping is going to be rerouted, somebody's going to be making a lot more money because Baltimore is not getting the business. I don't know what the longshoremen are going to do. That, you know, that whole waterfront area is going to be hit really hard by this economically. I mean, it may end up shutting down. So there's all kinds of angles to this. I'm always looking at the money. I'm looking at cui bono, who profits. What are the indications of foreknowledge? And what are the indications of planning? That's why I was so interested in this idea that the same vessel already had a collision in 2016. That's kind of hard to believe that a ship could survive two collisions in its lifetime and that would be considered perfectly normal. I really have a hard time with that. But I guess we're being told?
I'm thinking the ship was damaged and they got an insurance scam out of this also. Both the bridge and the ship were both insurance scams, yeah.
More than likely. He's saying, why would there be flames? Surely metal and concrete don't spontaneously combust. Obviously, there would be sparks by a friction.
Yeah, what's the smoke coming from?
The
explosion? Incendiaries? Explosives? What's going on?
The vessel, apparently, but... Yeah, well, that's... Is it to try and make it look like it was coming from the ship? But
we shouldn't be seeing any fires. Come on. Why would there be fires?
Had you noticed that, Phil?
Yeah. When metal breaks, it doesn't start a fire. It just breaks, you know. And so, the pylon to the right was literally on fire. And so, I mean, I saw that. And that didn't make sense. So, yeah, it's another whopper. They're pulling another fast one, and it's.
They're saying there was a. So Barack Obama's Leave the World Behind.
Well, a lot of people are saying that there's a similar event that takes place in Leave the World Behind. It's not exactly the same, but there's a massive destruction.
A cyber attack causing a massive container ship to lose power and crash. Yeah. 2023, they produced a movie called Leave the World Behind. What are you saying about that, Phil, though?
Yeah, my friend at the dog park mentioned this to me about, did you see that movie Obama was in and how he caused the freight liner or the ship to go out of control? I said, no, I haven't seen that. But now I've seen it. It's like, yeah, thanks for finding that. But, you know, if my friend at the dog park heard about it, well, then that's just the standard rabbit hole.
So, what's Laura Logan saying? Laura Logan is saying that it was sabotage already. She's saying that?
Let's see. Multiple intel sources, Baltimore Bridge collapse was an absolutely brilliant strategic attack on U.S. critical infrastructure, most likely cyber. I don't know why they keep saying cyber. You know, I mean, there's more than just cyber controlling that ship. It's
what caused the tugboats to fail to push it out of the way, and why would they even disembark without having the tugboats in line?
Yeah, Phil, explain the role. Explain to people: most ships don't just take off out of a harbor. They got to be towed out a sufficient distance, right?
Yeah, they have to have at least two tugboats, to guide them out of the harbor. That's what somebody in my comment section told me that's maritime law, and you don't even disembark until you have those in place. And so this doesn't make sense on just the most elementary level. It's insulting. And, well, it's a movie, just like what the mayor said. We're watching a movie. And...
We'll come back to the tugboats. Yeah, she's saying that in information warfare terms, they're just They just divided the U.S. along the Mason-Dixon line, exactly like the Civil War. Second busiest strategic roadway in the nation for hazardous material, now down for 4 to 5 years, which is how long they say it'll take to recover. Bridge was built specifically to move hazardous material, fuel, diesel, propane gas, nitrogen, highly flammable materials, chemicals, and oversized cargo.
You can't go in the tunnel.
In the tunnels.
Right.
Now that supply chain has been crippled. Make no mistake, this was an extraordinary attack in terms of planning, timing, and execution. The two critical components of that bridge are the two low-bearing pylons on each end and closest to the shore. They are bigger, thicker, and deeper than anything else. These are the anchor points, and they knew that hitting either one of them would be a fatal wound to the integrity of the bridge. Half a mile of bridge went into the river. Half a mile? That is, when you think of it in those terms, half a mile of bridge went into the river. Likely we'll have to build a new one. Also, well, yes, I would say so. Also caused so much damage to the structural integrity of the bottom concrete part that you cannot see and won't know until they take the wreckage apart. Structural destruction, likely. Absolute attack, perfectly targeted. And the footage shows the cargo ship never got in the approach lane in the channel. You have to be in the channel before you get into that turn. Location was precise, deliberate. Choose a bend in the river where you have to slow down and commit yourself. Once you are committed in that area, there is not enough room to maneuver. Should have had a harbour pilot to pilot the boat. You're not supposed to traverse any obstacles without the harbour pilot. That's really what you're saying, Phil, isn't it?
Well, the pilot is one who steers the ship. Yeah, they need to have a harbour pilot, and also they need to have at least two tugboats. And so all of it, you know.
They chose a full moon so they would have a maximum tidal shift, rise and fall, brisk flow in that river on a normal day, and have had a lot of rain recently, so water was already moving along at a good pace. Hit it with enough kinetic energy to knock the load-bearing pylon out from under the highway, which fatally weakens the span, and then 50% of the bridge fell into the water. All of these factors, when you look at it, this is how you teach people how to do this type of attack, and there are so few people left in the system who know this. Huge logistical nightmare to clean this up. Tremendous navigational obstruction. Number of dead is tragic, but not the whole measure of the attack. A kind of bridge constantly under repair, always at night, because there is so much traffic and they cannot obstruct that during the day. So concern is for repair guys who are on foot, out of their vehicles, working, who may now be in the water. 48 degrees at most. No, 48 degrees. What's that in real?
Oh, Celsius. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's...
At most at this time
of
year.
It's a little bit above freezing.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to go to break. And we have Hijacker, but I think if you don't mind, Hijacker, if you can hold on a minute, we'll finish this up. And then I want to hear what you have to say. Robert said you have a warning for us. So... I guess we're going to break now, right? Okay, thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee. So I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Sam had reminded me that it is Johann Sebastian Bach's birthday. He was born in 1685, I believe, in a musical family. Received his early training under his father and his uncle. Okay, and let me see. Let's go ahead and see if we can get some more of this in before we take any more phone calls. If everyone doesn't mind, I want you to hear, especially this Laura Logan, because she's part of them. She's part of the bit. And she says here about the Mason-Dixon line, I find interesting. Go ahead. Oh, okay. Oh, well, you people can, it's posted in the chat. Sam got rid of it, so we don't need to hear any more of it. Let's hear what Hijacker has to say. And I see JP is back, so let's hear Hijacker. How are you, Hijacker? Tim?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Miss Mary?
Good.
Thanks so much for taking my call. Also, thanks for jumping in, pinch hitting for Robert there.
Oh, but, yeah, it's fun. I'm glad he asked me. He trusted me.
Yeah.
Even though I had crickets keeping his baby awake all night last time.
Right. Well, when I did his show, I think, Miss Mary, I'm turning into a heretic. I'm just on a partial preterist now. I mean, my whole head just changed about a lot of things, but that's not why I called. It's about this eclipse. Mm-hmm. And so, we all of us, like Robert said, we feel a sense of foreboding that something down the pipe Pike, and we've been feeling it for quite a few months. And so now this eclipse has rolled around, and the eclipse is more or less a God thing. But as we gamed it out, we took a look at the God thing that it made the X, that it went through all these towns of Nineveh, the date, the time, the place, the planets are aligned. Now we've had, I heard that we had 1,600 lightning strikes all the way down the whole path of the eclipse, all the way across the United States. We've had National Guard troops call up. We've seen parking lots full of hundreds, if not thousands, of Ryder, Budget, U-Haul type trucks. And so we're getting all these anomalous signs. And the reason why I called in is that I'm almost starting to think now is that instead of it being a God thing, in which everybody thinks, okay, it was because of the solar flare that went off the sun, and that's why we lost power or this or that, I'm almost starting to think, as we game it out, it could be that the government is getting ready. And some people want to say that the Francis Scott Key Bridge was a trigger, basically to tell the elite that, this Operation Eclipse X, whatever they're going to call it, is in play. And so I started thinking about what Robert said about these 5G towers and about the huge, like, 4-inch trunk cables of copper wire or coax or whatever. That literally, each one of these can be powered up to a billion watts, where they can actually use these 5G towers, which are illegal in Israel. I think in Israel you can only get 3G. I don't even think they go to 4G. I think it's 3G in Israel. They won't permit it by law. Can't do it. But I'm thinking,
It's funny. I've heard that, but then someone lives over there that was doing interviews and things, and he was saying that yes, they did have it there, even though they said they didn't. But who knows? Go ahead.
Right. Well, just thinking about the amount of wattage that if they would actually turn them all the way up, like you remember, like in Wuhan, you remember the 21 million cell phones that went dead?
Remember that? That's right.
Oh, yeah, whole piles of them. Remember the people dropping dead? And we thought, that's fake.
There's something to that, too. Maybe you heard James in Vancouver. He lived over there for 3 decades or something. And the martial arts school, they actually teach, and you notice it was young boys, right, young men, right? They teach them to be able to drop flat on their face. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm just theorizing, and it's just a warning. I got, outside of the information that we got, are they going to turn these cell towers on along the path of the eclipse and literally microwave all these little different towns? Are they going to use this sort of as a beta test to see, what exactly these towers will do? And then they can always drop back and say, well, it was the eclipse mixed with the solar flare. But anyways, I just wanted to give you a call just saying this could be what happens with the eclipse. It could be God type of judgment, in which you're a Christian, I'm a Christian. Every day we wake up, we think to ourselves, oh, my God, we're really going to get it. He's going to beat us good. I mean, we deserve it. But on the other hand, could it be that the government is actually going to use the eclipse as the focal point to blame whatever they plan on doing? So I wouldn't be near a 5G cell tower if I was in the path of the eclipse. I definitely would get away from it, because these people that are running this government, they are psychopaths.
That's for certain. They're satanic, narcissistic,
right?
Psychopaths. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
well, the use it for fear mongering. Because they have to get something going all the time to keep the fear level up. And it's easy for them to do that when people follow the media, right? And all this hoopla about going to see it, you know, and, you know, so many people want to be right under where it passes and everything, you know. And if you remember the one in August 21st in 2017, you remember that one? That went directly over Fort Knox. And Mnuchin was Treasury Secretary. Well, he grabbed up Mitch McConnell and dragged him along with him over there to Fort Knox. And reportedly, they were up on the roof. And he said, oh, no, they weren't. But, yeah, they probably were. And what did he say? He tweeted out, the gold is safe. Not that the gold is here, but that the gold is safe. And from what I understand, a lot of the gold is being held in Singapore right now. And there's not near as much gold as we're told. So,
And there's another little oddity. They're closing all of the schools, the public schools, in the whole direct line of the eclipse. And this is their reasoning. You remember when we were children, you remember they would give us the funny glasses when there would be like an eclipse. Mm-hmm. And you would go out for the 10, 15 minutes and they made like little boxes in which you could look through, like with a mirror and see it. You remember that?
Yeah, welder's glass might be good, but these little flimsy things, they're saying, oh, China. And in fact, one news report I heard today, I guess it was, slipped and said Japan. That was the old boogeyman. He slipped up. You're supposed to say they might be made in Japan and China. So, you know.
Right.
So, anyway, so it's not a good idea to look at it anyway, you know.
Right.
You don't have to look directly at it. Look at the shadows it makes, you know.
Yeah. Well, what the reason why they're closing the public schools, this is what they're saying. They're saying we don't want the liability because we don't know if the children are going to look directly at the sun. And so it's going to be on the parents. It will be the parents' fault. And that's why we're closing the schools. So that's their reasoning.
Yeah.
But great, great, great show, Miss Mary.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, thank you.
That's a good
idea to warn about that because you never know. You know, they'll try to use anything, but, you know, God turns evil to good, so. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. God bless now. Thank you.
You
thank
too.
You. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you too. And so, JP, what do you have for us? Did he come back?
He went to.
Or is he? Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Hijacker was right on target. There's about a 90% chance of a Nexus point happening next week. And there's a lot of remote viewers, people in that field pointing to that event. And our MO, you know, is false flags. You know, the U.S. MO. Vietnam was the Gulf of Tonkin, total false flag, all came out. 9/11, false flag. We all know that. So they use these events, the elites like to use these events to start cataclysms of, you know, catastrophes, you know.
They make up events too. Now I hear a lot of people, and I got onto this and so dug into it deeper a few years ago, the Smith-Mundt Act that Obama got through Congress and signed in 2012 to modernize it, i.e. you can lie to the people all you want. When in 1948, when they made that act, they supposedly couldn't lie to us. They could lie to the foreign, you know, and 1948, that's when Israel said, what's going on there? So, but the whole deal with that is, if you look into it, the first two things that happened after that was the Aurora Theater in Colorado, and that had to do with Robert Holmes. There was a James Holmes, the boy, right, who apparently was a love child and probably of Robert Holmes. But the FBI took him from the mother when she gave him up for adoption as a baby. She was in court both times pleading for him. And so then Peter Lanza for Sandy Hook, right? Adam Lanza never existed, but Ryan did. And he worked with his father with GE Capital. And they were both, Holmes and Lanza, to speak before the Senate about the LIBOR scandal, the London Interbank Offered Rate scandal. Well, they've changed the acronym now, and the scandal rolls on because they pulled these two things off. Because this is the sore point. Don't you dare mess with our money, okay? And they're not about to give up control of the currency.
No, the elites have been controlling us for a while. I was briefed on this years ago. by the CIA. So I know well, I'm well aware of it. But to change gears a little bit, I'd like to talk about the Baltimore thing, because I was a boat captain. I was a pilot, expert pilot in Wisconsin Dells. My ship was a North Star. I drove passenger, double-decker passengers, and I used to go into coves, a really narrow coves.
That's really neat up there, isn't it?
Yes, it's beautiful. And you know what? I get people Chicago, Milwaukee, all these different cities, and when I get them on the boat for 30 minutes, their eyes would change, their whole aura would change, because I was taking them down paradise, you know? But the thing was, I was a really good boat pilot, okay? I had to go into little coves down in the Coldwater Canyon, Witch's Gulch, very narrow coves, and I had to turn the boat around and shift it around and not hit the rocks, and I was good. I was a great pilot. So a good pilot knows how to navigate a ship, okay? My whole ancestry comes from, my grandfather was British Navy, okay? I'm an expert pilot. When I seen that ship, okay, that ship that hit that pilot, that went into, when the smoke went up, that means he kicked it into overdrive. The lights went out.
Well, he did, or maybe it was remotely done.
Definitely. It was probably hacked. That's my theory, is all these electronic machines are all controlled by the internet. It could have been hacked, but what happened is the ship went into, the power went out, and then they gunned it. You could see the smokestacks go up. That means that it was gunned, and it changed direction. It changed direction about 90 degrees. It was gunned, and it went full bore into that. Now, that was intentionally done.
Yep.
Now, as a boat pilot, I would have never done that. You know, maybe if I was drunk and high and off my mind, I still wouldn't have done that. You know? So as an expert boat pilot, I can confirm that that was a sabotage. And
oh,
I just
yeah.
wanted to call
And there's probably
back and let
several
you know
agendas
that.
Going on there, you know?
Yeah, there was. But as a boat pilot, I got to say, that was not done. It was done deliberately. Whoever controlled it, they did that deliberately. Now, and my impression is it was a tit for tat. I believe it was hacked by the Russians. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. So anyway,
well,
God bless you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So we've got Mike back. How about Mike in Kentucky? Yeah.
I wanted to touch on the 5G stuff, but I could see that boat being hacked, but if you've ever kayaked or whatever, you know that on the water you have a mass, and you can do a glide stroke. You can paddle, you know, 1, 2, 3, pause, and you'll glide a long way. So that when they restarted the engines on those diesel boats and or generators, because they're supposed to have emergency backup generators, and whatever caused the power to go out, you see that around here all the time. We get rednecks with diesel trucks, and it'll belch out this big old thing of black smoke. So I don't think it's evidence of a fire, but, you know, restarting the engine, sure. And you see that on cruise ships. There's videos of cruise ships belching out, you know, black smoke from the diesel. It could have been hacked. But the map that I've seen of the path, it didn't make a right angle turn. It just had to make a shallow turn of probably 8 degrees to be off course and hit that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the control was cut and they couldn't steer it once it was veered toward that, and they cut the power, it's going to glide at 6 or 8 miles an hour a long way before they can stop it. How much mass was that? 200,000 tons? I mean, it was huge. Same thing with the train. You can't expect a train to stop that quick.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping the anchor, it's going to drag along in the sludge. You know, even an anchor's not going to stop that boat anytime soon unless you somehow snagged up on a pipeline or something under there, or a concrete barrier. But, yeah, why did they not put concrete barriers around that would deflect a boat like that? You would think. I mean, you see that on bridges, these chevron-shaped, V-shaped barriers that are designed to deflect not just the water, but a boat off of hit. new bridge will have.
Well, they had probably assessed it and didn't want to add anything to it. They wanted it to come down, you know, for several reasons, but replacing it.
It's almost like Joe Biden jumped in and shorted out the insurance scam and said, oh, the federal government's going to pay for it.
Yeah, insurance has something to do with it. I'm sure of that. And like I said, over there in Russia, too, whether they're getting after each other, I don't know. I think it's more like Mossad and CIA and, you know, the intel agencies. They get paid too darn well to do all kind of mischief. But
they can't stop people from suing over that. The people on the bridge, the families, you know, they could. There's still lawsuits over.
I'm not too sure anybody died. And I thank you, Sam, for playing that even past what I had asked you to. But they make the point in there too that. The four people that supposedly drowned were all like immigrants. And so they wouldn't probably have clear speech if they had their crisis actor families or, you know, whatever was the deal.
Well, still the families
I think they probably cleared everybody off that no one died.
We're still saying families suing over 9/11. That's not been resolved. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, look what they did to Beverly, right? They took that whole plane, talk about remote controlling or whatever. They took it up in the air and back down again and nosedived it into the tarmac, you know, after she had spoken with Obama.
Well, last summer, they finally cut off a lot of the 3G devices that were still in play in Houston and bigger markets in America because vending machines and parking meters and stuff were still on 3G. But the thing in Israel that they, how they blocked 5G in Israel was they limited the channel width, the width of the channel to 40 megahertz. 5G is a 100 megahertz channel. It can be, if you need that kind of bandwidth, you can, you know, stream video and stuff with 100 megahertz wide channel to put up, you know, Wi-Fi hotspots or whatever. So the phones can be forced back into 4G. Or even 3G mode, unless it's been blocked. Now, supposedly they're blocking a lot of the 3G software provisions because even local yokel police departments were building their own stingrays with off-the-shelf stuff. You know, the IMSI catchers to fake out a phone, it goes into 3G mode, and the tools to do all that was for sale on the dark web. That's why they were so ticked off about Julian Assange and Snowden, is they revealed these old 3G tools.
Yeah, they were revealing, but there's also a little more to that, especially like Snowden. He had this team, right, Glenn Greenwald, who was doing damage in Brazil, you know, really getting the sodomites going down there. Bolsonaro said, we don't need any more of this kind of stuff. And so that was part of his mission. And how in the world you get a guy with two broken legs, right, and kneecapped or whatever, and his three laptops, and they can find him, but 17 intel agencies couldn't find him, you know? So there's some, he let some stuff out, but he also didn't let a lot of stuff out, too, you know? And we don't know for sure where he was, if he was actually in Russia. He might have been in Azerbaijan, for all we know,
That's a whole other topic. I wasn't getting into that. I'm talking about they had these tools from the Advanced Network Technology Catalog and the stuff that the WikiLeaks leaked was for sale on the dark web. And so it was being used by nefarious actors. And that's one of the reasons they got so mad at Julian Assange is they still wanted to use these tools, but he's letting the cat out of the bag that, hey, anybody can go buy this stuff on the dark web, you know, and there was Russell Tice and Jake Weeby. There were several whistleblowers before Snowden. I knew about a lot of this stuff going back into the late 90s because I experienced it, you know. So, and of course, you were tinfoil hat, you know, for talking about the echelon of total information awareness. When you actually witnessed it and you had other witnesses to show that they weren't just picking on you, and it was a system-wide thing, way before the Patriot Act. But now the tools with 3G were considered obsolete by the time Snowden leaked the them because they were already being leaked on the dark web. Mm-hmm. So,
and I didn't see it, but there was a movie or whatever made supposedly, and he talks about the undergrounds under all the cities being blown up, right? But not Israel. I just heard Brendan O'Connell, I saw at the time, talking about that. He said, oh, you didn't say anything about the cities in Israel, not Tel Aviv or anything. And that's in their protocols, the Learned Elders of Zion, number 9, part 13. That's what they plan to do. And it's kind of funny with the Brooklyn tunnels and, you know, how the Jewish ones say, oh, it's nothing, you know, it's a big nothing burger and whatever with the mikvahs and all that. But this is their plan, to dig tunnels under all the metropolis and make sure any archives are destroyed.
I don't know what you're talking about there, but there's, you know, the boring company that Elon Musk has is, and the Air Force has been doing tunnels for decades.
This is something else that gets me, is because now they're calling him the richest man in the world, and it was Bill Gates. Isn't Bill Gates offended? He's glad to have the limelight off of him. Elon Musk, this Jesse Sobotar coming out of the Luciferian Brotherhood, Illuminati, whatever, saw him at some of these rituals. They're just about the same age. So, you know, we can hope for him to be doing something good, but it doesn't look real promising.
They're made men like Epstein. He went from the coordinated media calling him a billionaire to over one weekend he became a millionaire. You know, he's not a billionaire anymore.
Same thing with Kanye West, right? Overnight, they yanked his chain.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a good week.
Did you forget me, Father? Did you? They nailed him to a wooden cross. Soon all the world would feel the loss of Christ the King. Prepared to die, then lifted his face up to the sky, said, I am coming home now, Father, to you. A reed which held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul to glory. Used his sword to pierce the body of our Lord, said, truly this was Jesus Christ, our Savior. He looked with fear upon his sword, then turned to face his Christ and Lord.
RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.